God is a God of love, and He does not teach through fear or use fear in any way. Hello, my name is David Nelms, and I have written many articles that provide spiritual insight, and I am happy to share them all with you. Before we begin, please take a moment to clear your thoughts and ask the Holy Spirit to help you see things more clearly. Today's topic is, why did God create things that decay and die? We begin. You are not living in the world created by God because God could not create the things you see and experience here. Since God is perfect, He can only create perfect things, and this world, this reality, is far, far from perfect. God is perfect peace and love. God is everlasting growth and giving. God is growing and expanding and creating all things eternal and perfect. God is unquenchable life beyond any concept of life we may have. God is eternal blessings where everything benefits everything else all the time. The process of creation is expansion, a never-ending growth of perfect things and beings. Creation is a direct reflection of the Creator. What is created will be perfect and will never become anything less, but in itself, it will also have the capacity to create other things that are perfect. It can't do anything more. It can't do anything less. God is also eternal. So since He creates by extending Himself, His creations also are eternal. God's creations are perfect and eternal, just like Him. They have all the attributes of God, and the only difference between them and Himself is that He created them. Otherwise, they are identical, perfect, eternal, and creative. Everything that is created has the capacity to create without losing anything of itself in the process, because creation is the expansion and replication of an idea without cost to the originator. It is similar to when you tell somebody a story. Once you share the story, somebody else also has the story, and they could share it with someone else, and so on, until the whole world has heard the story. Meanwhile, you have not lost the story because you do not give it away, you shared it. And it grew without loss to you. This is how creation works. The idea goes forth and reproduces itself perfectly. Once created, not only does it not take anything to be created, but it will give or expand when it also creates. Creation never takes because it can only give. It can only grow. Since it doesn't take, it leaves no vacuum in its trail. Therefore, nothing exists to pull it back or undo its creation. Since God can only create things that are perfect and eternal, and things that only give and never take, He cannot create a living organism that grows old and dies. God cannot create a system where one thing has to die in order for another thing to live, be it plant life, flesh, or microorganisms. God cannot create anything that consumes something else and does not give back more than what was originally there. God cannot create anything that takes. How then do you account for us, this world, this entire physical universe, based upon rules of taking, using, consuming, decaying, and eventual death? Even our scientists have already concluded that the universe itself may eventually stop expanding and contract back into the atom-sized particle that started the Big Bang in the first place. Our whole universe eventually dies because it consumes energy and leaves a vacuum in its wake, a vacuum that will eventually pull it back and undo its existence. So if God can only create something that is perfect and eternal, how do you account for an entire universe that may eventually die? Since only perfect and eternal things can be created, only perfect and eternal things really exist. Nothing that is not perfect really exists in a way a perfect being views them. So, from a perfectly spiritual point of view, this entire universe does not really exist. It is not perfect, it is not eternal, and so it could not have been created by God, since God could not create a universe that consumes and dies. Let's step back a moment. The spirit that is you was created by God, and this spirit, this mind, is perfect, is eternal, and is real. God created us as an extension of himself, but he did not create us physically because physical things are not perfect and they are not eternal. God created us spiritually, which is perfect and eternal. You may inhabit a body, but that body is not who you are. You are a perfect and eternal spiritual being, and your body is just a temporary transportation device, a car. As spiritual beings, we also created things that were perfect and eternal. As eternal and perfect beings, we would pursue every thought that could ever be conceived. Thoughts that would not lead towards a perfect thing were discarded, since this was not something that could be created, and you could only create things perfect and eternal. In the midst of the billions and trillions of perfect thoughts that were created and non-perfect thoughts that were discarded, somewhere, somehow, we held on to a thought that could not be created perfect and eternal. The thought should have been discarded like the trillions of other thoughts before, so by holding on to the thought, we made our first error in thinking. The thought, whatever it was not a perfect thought, so it could not be created, but we were somehow intrigued or drawn to it, and for a microsecond, which is just an expression since in an eternal setting there is no time, we chose not to let go of this thought. This error in thinking had to have an effect. All thoughts lead to something. All thoughts are focused energy that will produce a result. Since only a perfect thought can create eternal things, an error in thinking can only lead to a shadow of creation, as we might visualize a dream or hallucination which is nowhere near perfect or eternal and is in a separate space, void of God's perfection and void of the ability to exist eternally. This method of thinking leads to something being made, not created. Created things are perfect and eternal and create more things like itself, but something that is made can only make more things like itself that are also not perfect or eternal. Anything made will not last forever and will eventually die. Anything made can also be unmade and will eventually cease to exist. This is perfect balance. This is the correcting of errors. While in this void, an illusion developed as a shadowy reflection of creation, where the error in thinking attempts to act like creation, but it is not. This error in thinking eventually manifested itself as a pinpoint of energy in a non-perfect reality, a physical reality. Time wasn't invented. While in this void, an illusion developed as a shadowy reflection of creation, where the error in thinking attempts to act like creation, but it is not. This error in thinking eventually manifests itself as a pinpoint of energy in a non-perfect reality, a physical reality. Time was invented, and within its first microsecond, energy beyond what can now even be fathomed bursts from this pinpoint and manifests itself to make more things like itself, to make more things that were also errors and also not perfect and also not eternal. The universe, the Big Bang, was born. God did not create this physical world. We made it. We dreamed it, and we decided to not let it go. We knew we should have just discarded the thought and moved on to real creations, but we didn't. We did not want to give up this dream or illusion of creation. We knew it was not the better choice. We knew this was something our Creator would not do. We knew we should just let it go. Since we were holding on to an error, we no longer saw all things clearly. Things were unclear because our minds were warped by holding on to the error. With a clouded mind came the final and virtually fatal error. We had another thought. A thought we knew was not true, but our clouded mind hid this from us. We thought God would disapprove of what we have done. We thought that God would make us let go of this thing we made. We thought God would be upset at us. We experienced the first sensation of guilt, and then we believe we had no choice. We believe we had to hide from God. Have you ever seen a circumstance where a young child did something that he knew wasn't the better thing? Then have you ever seen where he acted and felt so guilty that he even hid from you, even though you really weren't upset or angry? Even though you had no desire to punish him for something so trivial, something so accepted as a natural effect of growing? In this situation, no matter what your actual intentions or thoughts, the child felt his actions were worth being punished. That is what we did. As a young spiritual child, we assumed something that was not so, and like this earthly example of a child, we decided to judge ourselves and hide from God. Our fall, as you might call it, was a spiritual event. Man did not exist, so he could not fall. Instead, man was a result of our judgment upon ourselves. Man, in this entire physical, metaphysical, and clouded spiritual reality, was the result of our spiritual fall. Everything that has transpired on this planet has brought this original thought of God's wrath and anger right along. We have worked it into our religions and have made God the architect of disasters, the deliverer of punishment, and the author of guilt and judgment. None of this is from God's mind, just ours, and just why we choose to hide from God. God has not abandoned us. He is exactly where he always has been. He has not changed. His love for us has not changed. His desire for us to be wholly one with him again has not changed. The only difference between the way it was and the way it is that we stepped away. We stepped back. Upon stepping back, a void appeared between us and God. This void created an unknown area that gave birth to fear, in which we built thick walls, solidifying our fears. These walls, or errors in thinking, errors in perception, made it more and more difficult for us to see God, while also making it easier and easier for us to believe we were successfully hiding from God. From God's point of view, we are right where we always have been. He sees us right where we always were, only now we appear to be asleep since we are not communicating with him like we used to. God wants us to regain this communication with him, but will not and does not want to force us to awaken. In order to gently help us awaken, he created the Holy Spirit to help increase communications with him. He then sent Jesus to prepare a way and enable the door to be opened to let the Holy Spirit in. We are not abandoned. We are not alone. God has not forgotten a single one of us. God works with us on an eternal, timeless scale because we are eternal, and so he has no reason to hurry. He has no need to fear what may happen to us while we sleep because he knows that no matter what we might manifest in our dreams, our true selves are sitting right there with him, blessed by him, surrounded by him, totally safe for all eternity. We cannot die, nor do we have any reason to fear harm in any way because God cannot create things that decay and die. This body is a car. Things may happen to your car that you do not like, but it's just a car. Even when the car is totally destroyed, you still exist as you always have. Perhaps you'll even find another car and return again. I can't say I know how that works, but whether you are experiencing this void physically, metaphysically, or spiritually, we are here because we think God is upset at us, and we think we can hide. While we are here, we can choose to be open and willing to see things differently, more clearly. We can choose to pursue God's truths and set aside the fears that created this world. One by one, we can remove the blocks in the wall that we have built between us and our Creator. And one day, we will take one step forward together, and God will reach out his hand and help us safely leap across the abyss. Then, our eyes will open, and we will know we are one with the Creator. Once again, we will feel the full love and peace of God and continue our eternal existence with him. This article is concluded. To access more articles, please please visit the Being Willing website at www.beingwilling.com. That's BeingWilling.com. BeingWilling.com. Thank you for allowing me to share this time with you, and have a great day.